Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right, who's excited about Easter?
Yes.
I was very blessed today. I came into church and I had an Easter basket on my desk. And it had the only kind of Easter bunny that really matters, a Reaster bunny.
Yes.
Now, if you don't know what a Reaster bunny is, it is a Reese cup bunny.
Yes.
Could life be any better? Reaster bunny. And also, what we need every Easter, some peeps. Now, if you know me, you know I have a slight, I don't like peeps, I don't like to eat them, but I like to mess with them. Because peeps, what are peeps made out of? They're like indestructible. You can do anything to a peep and it just keeps peeping. I mean, it's amazing, a peep. But we had some peeps and jelly beans and all kind of good stuff. And, you know, and that's great. How many had some Easter eggs? Anybody have Easter eggs?
Yeah.
Wow. Right? Let's just all pray. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, Easter is, Easter eggs and Reaster bunnies are great. They're wonderful. But we want to make sure that that's not what Easter has become. You know, those things are fine. There's nothing wrong with having a Reaster bunny. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with coloring some eggs as long as we remember what Easter is really all about. And if you turn over your Bible, or you can follow along on the Bible app, if you can follow along there and help you because you got all the verses already set up for you. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible talks about all the benefits for what happened at the cross at Easter. You know, 2014 years ago, something happened on a cross, and we can all benefit from it today.
Yes.
How many like benefits?
Oh, yes.
Benefits are bonuses. It's stuff you just get. And here's the benefit that comes with Easter in 1 Peter 1, 3. It says, now, somebody say now.
Now.
So when's it for?
Now.
We're going good today. Now is for now. It says, now we live with the wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. I don't know about you, but I've got some expectations because I know how good God is. Because Jesus raised himself from the dead, we have a wonderful expectation. We have a hope. In other words, it's good news. It's good news for us. If you turn over in John chapter 10, turn over there if you would, or click on it on your Bible, your Bible app. We've been talking a lot lately about sheep. Somebody say sheep. Bah. We're the sheep, right?
That's right.
And so the Bible says that Jesus is the good shepherd. And you know, wherever you came in today, you know, a lot of people, Easter sometimes is your first church service. But you know what I say? Hey, you got to start somewhere, right?
That's right.
What better day than today? Everybody had a first church service one time or another. Everybody walked into church one day when they had never been there before and heard a message that maybe they'd never heard before. And if that's you today, we've got only good news for you. But you know, the thing about God and Easter and the cross and all of that is so often people have an idea of God that he's just up in heaven. He just wants to see all the wrong things you do. And he wants to write them down and he wants to hold your feet to the fire, so to speak, and just watch you and watch the mistakes you make and wag his finger at you and count all your wrongs. But you know what? The Bible says that's not what God does. It says that he's the good shepherd. We're the sheep. What do sheep do? Bah. You guys are getting pretty good at that. But here's the message that God wants us to hear today. Jesus says, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Wherever they go, they will find green pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and to destroy. Jesus said, my purpose is to give life in all its fullness.
Hallelujah.
Verse number 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I like how the Amplified Bible says, it says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. So those things are not done by God. God doesn't do those things. He says the thief does those. But Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, listen, till it overflows.
Hallelujah.
That's what God is doing. God is not interested in what you've done. He's not interested in what has happened. God is too busy loving you. Amen. God loves you so much. He's the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. Jesus died for you and I. And you say, well, why did all that have to happen? Because the Bible says, and I'm sure all of us would agree, that when wrong is done, somebody needs to pay for it, right? When wrong is done, somebody needs to pay. How many in here have done something wrong? Look at your neighbor and say, you're not raising your hand, you're lying. You're lying.
Lying in church.
Lying in church on Easter.
Woo.
That's no good. You better watch it. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, we've all done wrong. And so somebody has to pay that price. And the whole message of Jesus and his love is that he said, I'll pay for you. I'll pay for you. You'll get all the benefits of a paid in full bill, but I'll do all the hard stuff. That's the message of Easter. God's love for you. And if you've heard anything else, then you need to listen to what God has to say, not what people say. Has anybody ever said anything about you that wasn't true? They probably have, but you know what? People say things about God that isn't true. God is the author of love and goodness and good things. The Bible says only good and perfect things come from above. And so all that other stuff, God's not into that. That's the thief that does that. But let's keep going here. You know, when we think about where we are and our lives, and maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, my life is coming up a little short. It's not where I thought it was going to be. Things are not working out the way I wanted. I'm a little, there's a lot of ways to say it. Here, I'm going to read some of them to you. When we talk about people's lives, a lot of times they say, hey, how's it going? Anybody ever ask anybody that and then you wish you hadn't? Right? Because see, without Jesus, without him, we come up short in life. And then things like this come out of our mouths. We say, I'm worn out, I'm played out, I'm stressed out, I'm burned out, I'm run down, I'm used up, I'm bushed, I'm exhausted, I'm frazzled, I'm bone weary, bone tired, I'm on my last leg, I'm at the end of my rope, I'm about to come unglued, I'm ready to throw in the towel. Anybody ever feel like that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, regardless of the phrase that you're using, what you're saying is that something in your life, you're coming up short. It's not getting you where you want to be. And that's exactly what we got up here. We got our God box. This is a good place. And then we got us over here. This is us. And the thing is that the reason that people are so tired and worn out and burned out and stressed out and all the other outs is because you're trying to get from here, where we are, without God, you're trying to get over here. Because you know what's here? Peace, joy, love, mercy, kindness. Yeah. Over here, the Bible says that with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
So when we're here, all things are possible. You know, when you're here, when you're with God, you know that it's possible to recover from whatever has happened to you.
Amen.
You know that when you're with God, it is possible for your broken heart to be mended. When you're with God, it is possible for whatever loss you have experienced, for God to heal your heart and bring you back to joy. But it's all with God.
Amen.
But we're over here. And we're trying to get those things. We're trying to get peace. We're trying to get reconciliation. We're trying to get joy. We're trying to get what we call that blessed assurance. When you know that no matter what comes on the phone, no matter what comes through the door, no matter what you see on the news, no matter what the doctor says, you've got that blessed assurance that I'm with God and he's going to take care of me. No matter what. But that only comes when you're here. Without God, we're over here and we're working and we're trying to get to where our hearts on the inside, we know we need to be. Every person, no matter what they say, hungers and knows that there's something more. There's something more. And without God, there's always that feeling that something is missing. No matter how much money you have, no matter how good looking you are, no matter how many boyfriends, girlfriends you've had, no matter how many drugs you've tried, no matter how much alcohol you've drank, there's always something missing. And you just keep going for more, going for more. You know what's happening? You're trying to get from here to there on your own. You can't make it on your own. It's impossible. But people try it all the time. You know, we try different things. We try, let's see. People think they can buy their way over. You can't buy your way over. People say, oh, well, I give money, so I'll be fine. Doesn't matter how much money you have or how much money you give. If you're not here with God, there's still something missing. Amen. Something's missing. We try all kinds of stuff. People think going to church is going to do it. You know, just because you go to church doesn't mean that you are with God. You know, I've met some of the meanest people ever at church.
Me too.
It's just like, man. And you know what they're usually saying? Get out of my seat. You're in my seat. It's like, hello. You know, just because you go to church doesn't mean that everything's going to be okay and you're going to be fine because you go to church. Just because your mom goes to church doesn't mean you're okay.
Come on.
Amen. Just because your mama prays doesn't mean you don't need to pray.
Come on.
Going to church isn't enough. It's a good thing. Say it's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
But without God, you know what it turns into? It turns into being critical and hypocritical and all kinds of other iticals. It's just no good. Because without God, all it becomes is rules.
Yes.
And you know what? God's not interested in that. Like I said before, God isn't concerned about what you've done, because he knows what he's done will take care of whatever you've done.
Amen.
Amen? So we need God. Let's see. It's like the newlywed game, right? Doing good. If you say to somebody like, hey, You think you're going to go to heaven? They'll say, yeah, I do good things. I got news for you. Good things isn't enough. Because look, anybody want to come and try to walk across here on good things? It's not going to hold you. And who determines how many good things is enough good things? Right? Good things are good, but they're not enough. They're not enough. What's next? My favorite. When I ask people, hey, you know, do you have a relationship with God? Well, I'm a good person. It's like, that's not what I ask you. Being a good person is a good thing. But if this was enough to get us across where we want to be, who's to say how good you got to be? And who's to, you know, the only way that you're going to get from here to here is with perfection. Anybody qualify? No. And then if you really, you know, we try to be a good person, but if you think you're perfect, come on. You got low standards. You got low standards. Being a good person is a good thing, but it doesn't reach across. Because to be good enough to get through this, because you know what's in here? In here is all the mistakes we've made. And it separates us from God. And you can't make it across on your own. And so we say, you know, well, what is God's plan? Let me show you something. Turn over in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Let's look up here. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's God's plan. But so often, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show, and we're going to start in verse number 3. It's not up here. Let me just read verse number 3 to you. I'm going to show you what God's plan is. How many of you want to know God's plan? Because you know, it irritates me when people think that God's plan is all about what you've done, when it's not about what you've done. Because so often, we stop there. We stop right here in verse number 3. It says, among whom also we all, say we all, once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. What this is saying is we've all screwed up.
Yep.
So everybody has. But so often this is where people stop. They say, oh, I can't go to church. I can't have a relationship with God because he won't accept me because of what I've done. They say, I've gone too far away from God. Oh, no, God doesn't want anything to do with me. I hear all the time, I invite people to church, say, oh, no, the walls are caving. I can't go. But see, you're staying in verse number 3, where we all of us by nature, the Bible says, we're all by nature screwed up. Somebody say, whoo, it's not just me. Right? It's all of us. It's all of us. But we don't want to stay on verse 3 because there's more to the story. There's more to it. Just like on the inside, you know that there's more. You know there's more. Well, verse number 4 is the more. Ooh, that sounds good, doesn't it? Verse number 4 is the more. Here we go. Now, verse number 3 says we're all screwed up. Look at your neighbor and say, mm-hmm. Now look at your other neighbor and say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're all messed up. All kinds of messed up. You know, let me just let you in on something. Every family has crazy in it.
Amen.
Every family.
Amen.
Never think it's only yours. Every family, my crazy comes to church here. I'm kidding, Uncle Doug, I'm kidding. All right, here we go. Verse number 3, we're all goofed up, we're all messed up, we've all made mistakes. There's a reason why all of us can't get from there to here on our own. We've all got stuff here. Yours might be big, might be small, might be huge, doesn't matter. If it's something, it's something. All right? That's what verse number 4 is for. It says, but God. See, this is the rest of the story. But God, who is rich in mercy, let me read it up here, because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy. Let's keep going here. He says, even when we were dead in trespasses, that means we were screwing up, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Listen, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's the plan of God. God's not a finger wagger. He's not just pointing out all the wrongs. He's not done with you. He's not over you. He's not disgusted by you. You know why? Because verse number 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is getting what I need, not what I deserve. So verse number 3 describes all of us at some point.
Amen.
Screwed up, messed up, hang-ups, hiccups. I can't think of any more ups. That's it. We're all there. But God, who is rich in mercy, he is rich in giving you what you need, not what you deserve. That's the rest of the story.
Hallelujah.
That's the story of Jesus. And what does Jesus want to do? What is God's plan? To raise us up together with Christ Jesus. God's not putting you down. God wants to raise you up.
Hallelujah.
God wants to make you an overcomer. God wants to heal your broken heart. God wants to help you and lift you up out of whatever pit you're in.
Amen.
That's God. But we got to ask ourselves, how do I get from there to here? Because I don't know about you, but I want to be here.
Yes.
Because this is where all things are possible. I can't do it on my own. How do I get from there to here? Well, let's see how Jesus did it. How did Jesus get from there to here? Let's watch. You know, the gospel really is this simple.
Simple.
You can't make it on your own. You need a Savior.
That's right.
And when you follow him, you get here. It's that easy. You know, and so often we're like, well, but what? You know, if you're drowning and they throw you a life preserver, you don't hold it up and say, how does this work? Where did you get this? How long have you had it? Who made it? You don't do that, do you? What do? When you're drowning, when you know you need a savior, when you know you need to get here and you haven't been able to get there on your own, you don't do that. You just grab it and say, bring me in.
Come on.
Bring me in. You know, it's time to let go of some of the questions and just say, you know what, I don't have all the answers, but I know I need Jesus.
Yes.
You might be here today, you know, there's always a few people who are like, you know, I'm not even into God. I don't even believe in God. I believe in evolution. Let me tell you something, you got more faith than I do. Because I always think, just think about this, if you're here today and you're one of those people, you believe evolution, that we came from animals. We came from the goo to you, right? Here's a good question for you. If that's true, in all the years that we've been keeping history, why haven't any more apes walked out? If we're from evolution, why did it stop? Say, well, we've evolved. Have we really? We may know more stuff. We may be able to put a rover on Mars. We may be able to put a man on the moon. But as people, we are the same.
Amen.
We have the same problems we have always had. There is still war. There is still famine. There is still poverty. There is still cruelty. There is still meanness. There are still just mean people. So if this is it, we're in trouble. So if you're sitting here thinking, well, you know, you better think long and hard about that. Because there's a lot of holes in that story. God created us. And God wants a relationship with us. How do I get from there to here? I just follow Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I just follow Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
The only way to there is with Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Oh, we thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you say, Peggy, I know where I'm at, and I know that I need Jesus. I know there's something missing in my life, and today I want to fill that hole on the inside. I want to fill my heart with the love of God. I want to receive that great love that God has for me. I want to say, I was this way before, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love for me, I receive Jesus. And I'm going to follow him across that bridge. If that's you today, with nobody looking around or moving around just for a second, out of respect for people, if that's you and you say, I need to walk across that bridge, I need Jesus, just raise your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hands over here. Oh, I just see all hands going up everywhere. You say, I need to walk across that bridge. I need a rescue. I see your hand. Anybody else? I need a rescue. I need Jesus. For those who raise their hand, let's all say this prayer together with them. Because you know what? One of the best things about being in the family of God is exactly that. You're in the family of God. You've got people who care about you. We're not perfect, but we love you. We love you. And so let's all say this prayer together. Say, Father God,
Father God,
right now,
right now.
Easter morning.
2014.
I make a decision
to walk across
the bridge
of love
that Jesus
made for me.
I receive
Jesus
as my Savior.
As my Savior.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, isn't God good? You know, you might be sitting here. Let's give him a hand.
Hallelujah.
You might be here and you may be saying, wow, that was easy. Exactly. God makes things easy. People make stuff hard. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So for those of you who called on the name of the Lord this morning, you know what happened? You just went from there to there. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, ain't God good. I love God so much. You know why I love God so much? Because He loves me so much. He loves me in spite of me. He loves me, and He loves you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering this morning.